You're listening to Trek FM.
Want to join in the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode? Join the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field, and we look forward to seeing you there.
This is Steve Sansweet of Rancho Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the 602 Club.
Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the 602 Club, your general geek show here on the TFM network. Just so excited to be with you. And I'm real excited because my friend Rye is back. And Rye, I think we've got some really interesting news for everybody first. But second, we have a great movie to talk about today.
Yeah. Yes. We talked about it last time I was on for Mario that I've been doing it quite a bit. You've been asking me and it's been a lot of fun. And so, Matt asked me to be more permanent, co-host on the show, which I'm excited to do. It's a lot of fun talking all these new releases and then getting to talk just like some older movies that, we want to revisit. So yeah, I'm happy to be a part of the 602 Club permanently. It's a blast. So, now we get to talk about a really great movie on the first episode of, a more permanent thing. So thank you.
Dude, I'm just glad that you said yes. There have been so many different iterations of the 602 Club, throughout the years, and just to find somebody who enjoys talking about film, we don't always agree, which is fun too,
kinda good.
On things. I will be working diligently to save you from the depths of film hell, because he loves The Last Jedi, folks.
I do.
I look to redeem him one day. But this is really going to be fun, and I'm just thankful that again that you said that you wanted to do this. And look, you'll still hear other people on the show, and we still have the bonus show going on here with the Indie Files and all that, but we're just really excited. I think this is going to be a fun new era, I'm looking forward to all that we'll have to talk about. Of course, if you would like to connect with us, you can do that over on X Twitter at the 602 Club. We're also on Instagram at the 602 Club TFM. Of course, you could find the entire network on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm. If you want to talk to people from all over the world about the different shows that are going on, we've got a group called the Babel Conference on Facebook you can join, as well as our brand new website, and that's tfn.fan. You can check out all of the shows that are happening here on the network, and we would love it if you would do that. So we're going to go back to a movie here, Rye, that came out in 2011, this is a movie that's based off a book called The Invention of Hugo Cabret, and Brian Selznick, who is very popular for doing books that aren't quite novels. They're not really graphic novels. They're not flip books. But it's kind of like a combination of a lot of different genres to tell the story. And so I wanted to ask you, this book was pretty popular, and did you read this back in the day? Was this something that came across, your table as it were, as a kid that you picked up?
Yeah. So I was actually trying to think, I was like, it looks extremely familiar. And I was talking to my mom about the movie and just that I rewatched it. And she's like, you loved that book is what she told me. And so I have read it. I vaguely remember it. I have a bunch of books on my garage and I'm like, now I kind of want to go look for it and see where it is. But I do have, experience with the book. I loved the book as a kid. And I read it, probably a couple times throughout however old I was. And then even into middle school as well. I know I read it, again. It's a very unique book. It's like the illustrations and, you know, the pictures, all that. Like it's, and then it's a great story, obviously. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, I have read that. Like when I saw the cover, I was like, oh, it clicked in my head how much I did enjoy it. Did you read it? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, this is one of those books where at this point I was working at Barnes & Noble and I was actually running the kids section. And so I'm very familiar with this book.
Totally.
Got a chance to read it. I have a copy as well. Mm-hmm. It's on my shelf. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's just such a beautifully done book. Because it's a combination of all of these different types of genres, the illustrations in it are gorgeous, mm-hmm. but the story itself is really beautiful too.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that they were going to make a movie out of this, I was pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the book as something you liked as a kid,
mm-hmm.
when the movie came out, did you see it and how did you kind of feel about it then?
Yeah, so obviously it's a long time ago, and I mean, 2011, I was 12 years old. I saw it in theaters. Like, I remember, like, it was a big deal. Like, we went as a family to go see the movie, and I remember, like, thinking it was fine in a time where I thought every movie was cool, especially, like, action movies, comedy movies. I mean, I was 12 years old. Like, I thought those things were, like, those were movies, man. This wasn't exactly like my forte, my, you know, my speed, where like, I was like, oh, that's nice. It's cool that it's the book, but I wasn't like captivated by it in any, you know? And so like when I, like for like reference, like when I downloaded Letterboxd, I went through all these movies, kind of backlogged everything, just like vibe of my head. Like, what did I think about it when I saw it? What are my thoughts? And I like had like, I think it was a 3-star, maybe 3.5-star. So it was like positive, leaning positive to good, but like nothing that blew my socks off. And so I was really looking forward to rewatching it, knowing just how my tastes have changed. And you know, it's a movie about movies, which I love. So, yeah, what was your experience seeing it back in 2011, if you saw it then?
Yeah, I definitely saw it. And a big part of that was, you know, Scorsese's the director here. Howard Shore's doing the music at that point, you know, and he, you know, could do no wrong after The Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is a book that I had read, so I was excited for them to bring it to life, especially since, you know, so many of the moments in the book are done graphically.
Yeah.
And so how is somebody going to bring all this to life? And so I was looking forward to it. And I did. I liked the movie. I thought it was good then. And I think you make a great point, because there really is something interesting about getting older and the way in which your tastes can evolve and change. And obviously, they become more mature.
Mm-hmm.
Because we as people are hopefully becoming more mature.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just recently had this experience myself. You know, my wife and I decided to watch Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen that movie before, but it's been probably 15, 20 years since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I'm 20 years older, which means that for me, that movie hit completely differently now than it did then, because that movie is legitimately about growing older,
mm-hmm.
and the things that we lose along the way, the things we gain along the way, and the dreams that we have as we're younger, and how all that combines with age. And so I think this is one of those movies that could possibly have actually grown in my estimation just because of, you know, the experience of watching it at a different phase of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into it with you. And so I think the thing that really struck me the most about rewatching this is how this is a movie about the importance of purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's really like a special movie when it, like, I mean, from the jump of the movie, it's talking about, like, I mean, you even put it like we all function better as human beings when we know our purpose. And it's like this kid, this relationship with his dad, and like his dad has this thing they're doing together, and then he's trying to grow. It's like this beautiful, like, coming of age movie, as like he's learning and growing and showing this girl these movies, and everything just kind of intertwines, showing us like what it means to like have purpose in life. And yeah, I just remember, like, as I'm watching this, I'm like, man, like, I just feel like inspired, to, there's like a wonder to it. And that's what I love about these type of movies, where it is displaying what it means to live and to have a purpose in life and to grow as a human being. And, yeah, initially, just as I'm watching, I'm like, man, the arcs that our characters are going on, like the how the movie concludes, I think, with Ben Kingsley's, yeah, I say character as if he's not a real person, but, you know, like, as it's concluding and we're seeing this culmination of everybody's like life and what's happened throughout the movie, it's like, man, every arc just feels so earned and so natural and extremely inspiring.
Yeah, I love that way you're putting that, because the movie, by being so much about we as human beings, and not just even human beings, but like, it's like everything works better when it has a purpose, mm-hmm. right? You know, the whole thing of like, you know, I can use my cell phone as a hammer, but that's not what it's made for. Yeah. And so it's not going to work correctly. You know, hammers are made to hammer nails, mm-hmm. and other things like that, you know? And so when we know the function and the purpose of the thing, life works better. Same thing with us as human beings, mm-hmm. you know, we as human beings, when we can understand what our purpose is, we are able to be a person that's fulfilled. You know, when, especially as we fulfill that purpose that we are designed for and made for. And I think that's the other thing that's really kind of beautiful about the film, is that it approaches this in such a holistic way, because it also plays with the idea of that everything is intricately designed. You know, mm-hmm. you have the illustration that's given of the automaton, and it is so intricately woven with all of these, you know, specified gears that make it work in very specific ways, mm-hmm. so that it can create this message that we get in the movie, mm-hmm. With this picture that it draws.
Yeah.
And it's been designed to be able to do that. And yet it can't function without this heart-shaped key,
mm-hmm.
turned just the right way to make it tick. And there's such a beauty, I think, of us as human beings. You know, there's the whole conversation about, you know, that everybody has a God-shaped hole.
Yeah.
And that is very clear in this movie, that until one understands that they are designed and what they're made for, who they're designed by, and all of these things, that life feels empty and meaningless because we don't have the purpose to which we're made for. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing, I think, that just kind of blows me away by how well this movie does that. Without just like beating you over the head, it feels so natural and earned. Mm-hmm. And it's just a thing that you don't get to see a lot, I think, even in film or anywhere, really, where mm-hmm. this is kind of talked about it in the way that it is here, unless, you know, you're like in a Sunday school, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, I mean, I love what you're saying. The details that, and obviously we know that Scorsese, like, one, this is like, you see the Scorsese-isms because he's just such a talented filmmaker, but like, this is not like a Scorsese movie. When you think about this, like Hugo, you're not thinking about necessarily him, because this is not the type of movie he makes. but he has that background with faith, and you can see it just throughout this movie with like with the key unlocking this purpose, and then it by proxy starting this chain, like this automaton is this chain reaction of like Hugo and his purpose, and his purpose is revealed much differently than George's purpose, where Hugo's it's his there's grief, there's loss, there's brokenness. He's trying to figure that out. He's trying to survive, you know, in this where he lives. And then George's purpose is like it nearly like literally dies. It goes into like obscurity essentially, where he's making these movies and they just become like lost up until obviously late, you know, near the end of the movie. And I think that's just like so smart, like in terms of like how to structure this movie and how this story is told, where you're just everything feels so interconnected and you're seeing, this like purpose be brought to life, and you're I'm trying to find like the right words for it, but watching it unfold I think is extremely satisfying, and it does relate to our own purposes, like you said, where there's like a hole in us, and we need that heart-shaped key to unlock, you know, the rest of life as it trickles down and intertwines with other people's lives and so on and so on.
Yeah, I like what you said there, because you know, this does play out differently in Hugo, and then, of course, Georges Méliès, who's, you know, an actual person in real mm-hmm. life and history who did make these movies mm-hmm. and, you know, had his purpose and then, you know, felt like it had been lost, mm-hmm. you know, after the Great War, and, you know, becomes so despondent. He basically almost destroys his own legacy.
Yeah.
And we almost lose it forever until, you know, it's found later in the film. And so, but I think there's something incredibly beautiful about, again, like you mentioned, you know, Scorsese is a Catholic, and, mm-hmm. and so, and that comes across big time in a lot of his movies. You know, obviously he's famous for lots of different types of films, but you know, when you think of like him taking and tackling the story of Silence,
dude,
and things like that. Incredible. So what I loved about the way in which there is kind of a providential type of understanding of the idea of purpose, but the way in which we also, as a community, play into this idea of purpose. We help one another be able to discover our purpose, and part of that purpose is the way in which we touch one another by living out our purpose, mm-hmm. you know? And Méliès and his work in film here is able to touch somebody like Hugo and vice versa. Mm-hmm. That's something that I also think is really important, because it's not just about the selfishness of finding our own purpose, but it's about when we live out that purpose, we actually help others be able to discover their own. And again, I think it's the type of thing that, you know, so many movies I think miss, and it's kind of the thing that I love about the best of films, where it reminds us about what it means to be the best of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so many movies kind of, and even Scorsese's movies, right? They can show us the worst of ourselves.
Yeah, it's like this is the opposite thing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And this is a movie about us being the best versions of ourselves, and the way in which it's like beneficial for everyone when we do that. Mm-hmm. And that's just a message, again, that you don't see a ton. And so revisiting the film and watching the way in which these arcs kind of play themselves out in these different characters, it's kind of a beautiful experience.
Yeah, it makes the viewing much more like you said, like you typically watch a Martin Scorsese movie and it's showing you quite literally the worst people alive. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so like going into it, it's like, man, a breath of fresh air just watching this, like these stories unfold and how they shape one another and the kind of like inspiration that you get about, you know, what someone else's purpose can do for you. I like you said, touched on, like, it's not just about like you're finding your own selfish, you know, purpose in life, but like the more that, like, if you live out your purpose in life, impacts then me and impacts, you know, so on. It just this trickle effect. And obviously in this, it's cool how we see Hugo be so impacted by Méliès' work and his movies, and how that unfolds. Like you said, it's just beautiful.
Well, and I think that it's really fun then to have the movie be a movie about how movies matter, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, this idea of life being a stage and we're all players in it, you know, Shakespeare, but that movies help us explore our purpose and our place in the grand story of eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, they help us to dream and wonder and explore the rich tapestry of human experience. And that's, I think, the beauty of Méliès being able to find his purpose again, mm-hmm. and realize that his work can still touch people and inspire people and help people to maybe dream again, mm-hmm. especially, you know, when you think about when the story takes place, it's after World War I, and it's a time when people were, many men especially, were incredibly broken. And so I loved the way in which I think this helps us understand that when movies are functioning well, they help us to explore what it means for us to be human and to understand better the purposes of what it means to be human.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that this is what I think movies about movies like do like really, really well, because it does invite you into like it explores a medium of storytelling that like, truly is like 150 years old or less, for one. It's a very short, like, there's been lots of art forms that have been around longer. And then, like, there's a quote that Méliès says in the movie, where he's like, "My friends, I address you all tonight as you truly are, wizards, mermaids, travelers, adventurers, magicians, come and dream with me." And it's like movies are about this invitation to dream and to wonder and to explore your purpose and explore what it means to be human and, the best parts of ourselves, the worst parts of ourselves. And this is like a movie that's like, man, this really reminded me like why movies do matter to me so much, why I like sitting and taking time on my day off, sitting on a podcast and just chatting about movies, because they impact me. They've shaped me. They've like, I've had like moments that have like changed my life based on like going to sit in a movie theater. And I think that this movie just does such a good job of capturing that like awe and that like wonder. And even like how it plays out, it's not even, we talked about on Mario where it's like, that's a lot of like nostalgia. This is, can be considered like a different type of nostalgia. I mean, these are like the first movies being made, but like, it's not even about entertainment. Like, it's not being like, oh, movies, look how fun they can be. It's like, no, like this is like human imagination and care and love and wonder and art going into this form that is shared with other people that impacts each other and causes us to then go forth and do more of those things. And it's like, we've consistently said, it's this like chain reaction of beauty. And, you know, it's like, I love it.
I love how you put that, you know, movies can just help us to see the world through different perspectives and prisms that we might not be able to have otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing that, you know, I think all storytelling mediums do.
Yes.
A play can do this, a book can do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They help put us in the shoes of other people and other experiences and be able to kind of live them for a couple of hours and to help broaden our worldviews in ways that are beneficial and helpful. And hopefully, again, the idea is to be able to kind of bring us together instead of split us apart in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so, again, movies do that when they do it really well, and when they tell stories that are actually worth remembering, you know. And I think, you know, the beauty of movies and stories is that you don't have to come at it pretentiously.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole goal from beginning to end is to do that. You know, you can have fun and still change the course of the future. Mm-hmm. And I think Méliès kind of shows that, right, mm-hmm. with his movies, where there's just this silly, sometimes exploration of, you know, shooting the man in the moon with a yeah. with a bomb that we land on the moon. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, but it helps us to explore and wonder. And those are the things that, you know, I was thinking of all the types of movies that have, you know, meant so much to me, whether it be something like from the Star Wars galaxy mm-hmm. to, you know, you thinking of the Aliens worlds, you know, the depths of, the, you know, scariness and or, you know, coming even to like thinking of the depths of depravity of humanity of like the Godfather series mm-hmm. or, you know, all of these type of movies, the importance of like working for freedom and Braveheart to mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, look, the beauty is that the human experience is so vast and so big, and there are so many stories that can help us understand a bit of ourselves, that when we explore that well in film, it matters. And yeah. That's fun. And but I think that the other part about the movie is that it really goes to show that life matters, mm-hmm. right? Because what we do here can leave a legacy, and the legacy question is that going to be a something that helps build people up or tear them down,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I really liked that as well in the film, because, you know, Méliès' whole struggle throughout this is feeling as though everything that he did is forgotten and lost and will never be remembered, and it won't matter, mm-hmm. right? And I think, isn't that what we as human beings all feel, is like, am I going to do anything that actually matters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the struggle. It's like whether we think it consciously or not, everybody wrestles with the question like, is what I do on, like, how will I be remembered? Am I going to make an impact? Do I want to make an impact? I always talk about like epitaphs, where it's like the what's written on your gravestone, like what will people remember you by? And Méliès, like he quite literally, like his legacy potentially was going to be like what he thought was going to be lost. You know, he burned everything. Like he just like kind of threw up his hands and was like, you know, I'm done. And that is like a tragedy. Like that's not like a, it's not like a happy story. Obviously it shifts at the end of the movie, but in how I think of like how many people, like that's what they feel like that they just have to, you know, maybe not like literally, but like hypothetically burn everything and be like, you know what? My legacy doesn't matter. What I do here actually isn't gonna leave a lasting impact. And I think this movie kind of proves and shows that like all you know, all good things that we do, everything that we're able to accomplish that is, you know, good or beautiful or true, like will be lasting. Like that's just kind of the nature of what we believe. That if you are doing things that are true, good, and beautiful, like as Méliès' movies clearly did, like they were true, they were good, they were beautiful, and they lasted. And I think that's what we have to recognize, is that those things will indeed last into the future, and there will be a legacy that will be left, no matter how much we think there won't be.
Yeah, there's a really neat thread, I think, that runs throughout the film. And, you know, Hugo's father passes on to him this love of fixing things, mm-hmm. and this love of finding out how things work and being able to put them back together. And in that, the big question of the film is, you know, how do we fix what's broken inside of us, yeah. right? The automaton, again, is a picture of that for us in the film, very blatant picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in this discussion of, like, you know, what legacy is, that life matters, what we do matters, mm-hmm. The beauty of it becomes helping one another see those broken pieces in us and helping us put those back together,
mm-hmm.
together.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
And that the truest legacy is not one that changes the world, but it changes those around us for the better.
Yeah. It's like legacy. It's not even like what you leave, but it's what others are carrying forward to continue. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And so I think that's the thing that really gets to me in this film as I'm watching it, is there is this broken piece of us there. You know, we're all broken people and trying to figure out how to put the pieces back together, and that we can't do it alone. But we also can't do it without the final piece, you know, that there is a final piece that's missing. And yeah, for, will we be remembered or forgotten is not necessarily the right question. The better question is, who did we help change along the way? Mm-hmm. Who did we help fix along the way?
Mm-hmm.
Who did we help find their own purpose and meaning along the way? Mm-hmm. And though that's where, you know, life matters. That's where purpose and the importance of purpose really come into play.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because a story that's kind of aimed at a younger generation, I think there's a real beauty of this, because I also don't feel like we get many movies of this nature for kids anymore.
Yeah.
Where we're being reminded of that life is hard and messy, and it doesn't always feel beautiful, and, like, you know, everything is not always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to remember. And the ways in which we find ourselves in those spaces where life isn't awesome, a lot of that comes down to finding something bigger than ourselves to put our hope in.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that, again, this movie kind of, like, has those thematic elements that remind us that, yeah, to fix yourself, you probably can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And so I love that.
You need other people. You need people to, like, bring it out of you, you know, what Hugo is,
yeah.
to Méliès. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. This is, like, a special type of movie, because, like you said, like you touched on, like, it's definitely geared towards, like, kids. I don't remember, like, its exact rating, if it's rated PG or PG-13, rated PG. And, like, yeah, man, like, it's like, I said that I didn't, like, love the movie, but clearly the story, like, definitely made an impact and imprint on me, knowing that how I began to view movies into my, like, high school years. And it's movies like this that, like, show us that movies can be more, that there can be hope. It doesn't have to be, like, cynical and, like, just, like, you know, down your luck and, like, that's just life, but, like, there can be beauty found within, like, the brokenness of, and there can be wholeness, like, things can come together, there can be a legacy, there can be a purpose. And I think making a movie for this like age demographic, like I think like most recently, I think a movie that does this similarly is probably Project Hail Mary, where it gives you this sense of a hope and awe. And it's like kids can go watch that movie, you know, so which we talked about when we did the episode. But it, like you said, it's not common. Like this is not this Hugo's not getting made very often. Like that's not a movie that like gets
no.
which we I mean I want things like this. Like this is so full of everything we've been talking about and aimed at the audience that it is, where adults can get, I mean clearly we're getting a lot out of this, but also like, you know, younger kids could as well.
Yeah, I like that you said it that way. And yes, it is sad that movies like this aren't getting made much. And I think what makes this an important film is that, you know, with the best of stories, we don't deny the difficulty and the hard parts of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't just, the movie, like you said, it doesn't land on the cynicism of like, nothing really matters, just go make yourself happy and die. You know, that's not the point of this film, because what it's saying is, like all great stories, is that there is something better. There is something beautiful out there. And part of that is helping each other find that and look beyond themselves to that which is greater than them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really what our purpose is. And that when we fulfill that purpose, that is when we feel whole, not by being selfish, but being selfless, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, that's just something that we've talked about many times on the 602 Club over the years. And it's the thing that I think, we keep coming back to in the best of stories, because there are plenty of films where there's just a kind of a latent nihilism mm-hmm. to the story. Yeah. And that's not this movie. And I think that it's important because this movie does a great job to show kids that there are choices that you can make that lead towards that, or you can choose another path. And again, it doesn't shy away from the difficulty of life or the seemingly unfairness of life or any of those mm-hmm. things, but it does say, yeah, there's hope for something better. And
yeah,
I think one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, this movie has got a really stacked cast.
Yeah.
I forgot all of the people that were in this movie.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start just by talking about Asa Butterfield, because he plays Hugo, and you know, if he doesn't work in this movie, the movie itself is not going to work.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel that he is able to, you know, to do in this? Does he pull it off? Does the mm-hmm. performance give us what we need for this movie to come alive?
Yeah, I think I don't think he's like the consensus like MVP of the movie. We'll get there in a second. But I do think he's good. I know there's like mixed feelings about him and his performance, and the negative ones I don't get. I don't think he's like giving one of the best child acting performances of all time, but I do think he's giving a very good performance. He's holding things together that he needs to. He portrays every emotion, you know, well. He is I think he nails the emotional aspects. I think he nails just like the childlike kind of like wonder, and like he's having to deal with like a lot of grief, as we've talked about, and like, you know, on the run, and you know, his life's crazy. And I think he does a good job. You know, I'm not going to say he's like the most amazing performance ever, but like to say that like this movie would not hit if he was just like disjointed and, you know, was just like a distraction, like this movie would be way less impactful. And I don't think that that's the case. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I think that the beauty of his performance is that he has to play a character who has spent a long time alone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so to be somebody who is slightly withdrawn, he's spending his life basically on the run, having to hide in this train station so that nobody knows, you know, his uncle isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he doesn't get picked up by the inspector. I think that is great. And I think he does a really good job with all the emotions that he needs to portray throughout the film. And I think he plays perfectly the person who is the catalyst for all of the events to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it just the way he needs to. You know, I don't think it's the standout performance of all time for a child actor.
Yeah.
But that doesn't really matter. And I think he's just, all in all, he's just really good in the movie. And he doesn't take you out of it at any moment. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do anything that ruins his performance in any way. And that's exactly what you want. And so, you know, of all of these people that are in this movie, who is your standout performance?
Yeah, like you said, it's a great cast. I think that, like, our supporting characters, we're getting, like, Jude Law, Emily Mortimer, Christopher the Great, Sir Great, you know, Sir Christopher Lee, awesome in everything he is. And, of course, Sacha Baron Cohen's really fun. I think Chloe Grace Moretz is great as well in their role, respective roles. But I do think Ben Kingsley is, like, giving, like, a truly great performance. Just, like, his whole arc as a character, I think he holds this movie together, not because it's like kind of about his character, obviously, George Melies, but I think he just shines. I think that there's like a wonder to his character. He's having to, like, he moves from like coldness to like happiness, and makes it like he pulls all this off. Like, it's very natural, it's very flowing. It doesn't, like, his progression in his arc doesn't feel rushed, which obviously has to do with, like, the writing of the movie, but then how he's pulling it off is just, it's awesome. I'm, like, trying to, like, think, like, it might be his best performance I've seen from Ben Kingsley. And he's good in a lot of stuff. He's a really great actor. But I think he's really, really special in this movie. And if he's not there, like, this movie falls completely apart. Like, he looks like the guy. Like, it's perfect.
Yeah, I think him playing a man who is shattered.
Yeah.
Who is slowly being put back together is wonderful. And what I think everything you said is so true about his performance. It is what makes the movie work. I think he's also the thing that brings out everything that Butterfield is bringing to the role as well. Mm-hmm. And they play off each other so well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, him playing the bitterness that he has at the beginning, him playing the just the sadness that resides in his soul.
Mm-hmm.
I think to be somebody who you just understand that they're in a million pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And yet to be opened by, you know, Hugo and by Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, it's just like, it really is beautiful in that moment they have where they're sitting on the bed together and he just leans into his wife and it just, he's broken, right? Mm-hmm. But then to remember, and then, you know, that moment where his movie is being shown.
Yeah.
And he just has a light in his eyes that's mm-hmm. like everything's turned back on for him. It's great. I think you're absolutely right. I think he really is the highlight of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And he does such a good job of I think also and this is the thing, right? We talked about all of these themes, but that doesn't work if the performances don't bring that to life. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody brings those by their performance, yeah, makes those themes sing.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Yeah. And so obviously for this movie, we have in our minds, from having read the book, the look and the feel of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you feel like Scorsese does with bringing the production of this book to life, so that the look and the feel of the movie, does it give you what you had hoped for? And does it create a world that comes to life in the way that you would hope?
Yeah, I mean, this movie, like, is, like, the look, the feel, like, this movie's gorgeous. Like, from a visual perspective, like, I'm like looking at like the images of like of the movie. I've just been like having them on my side screen, and like it just looks amazing, just like from a visual standpoint. And then you get into the production where, oh my goodness, I just feel like the whole movie, I lived in 1930s Paris in this train station. Like I felt like I was there, completely transported. And it's incredible. Like, what they did with the production, I don't know any like details per se of like the what went into the, what, you know, what they did. Obviously, a lot of today we use a lot of, you know, blue screens and light walls, but this looks and feels so lived in, feels like a real place because it's a real set. And I love when movies feel like that I'm not sitting in my, you know, office or my living room watching this movie, but it feels like I'm like in where this is happening. And I really felt that like big time. I think it's one of the biggest highlights of the movie and why it does work so well, because you feel like you are transported into this scene, into this moment in time where they're dealing with all these things. So I thought it was really special. I think it looks amazing, from like just like a purely like visual, like cinematography standpoint. It's awesome. And then going into like just the production, the sets, the costuming, like, gosh, it's so, I could gush over it for a really long time. I won't, but, how do you feel?
No, I love everything you said, and the only thing I think I could add to that is that the movie has a vibrancy to it,
yeah,
and a beautiful saturation to it that brings this world to life in a way that makes it feel interesting. It feels lived in, but at the same time, it also makes it feel like almost fairy tale like, so that I want, yeah, to be in this train, yeah, station, you know. To make the behind the scenes in the walls where Hugo is, something that is visually stunning, and makes it feel less scary than it probably would be,
yeah,
is a real highlight of the film. And I think that it fits specifically, again, you know, when you look at Méliès's work, what he was doing in his films, and then you look at this movie, there is a real synergy, I think, mm-hmm, between them. And so that the vibrancy and the dreamlike nature of his films is mirrored in what Scorsese is doing with bringing the story to life, mm-hmm, which is perfect. It's exactly what you need. Again, you absolutely need the thematic elements to be brought to life by the performances, but they're accentuated then by the production.
Mm-hmm.
And it all works together perfectly.
Yeah, it's like,
and so,
yeah, you got to imagine when, you know, when these people are watching these movies in the 30s for the very first time, it's like, this is like magic happening on a screen. Like, and what I think that Scorsese does with his production and his visual style in this movie is it's like, man, this is like magic. Like, this is like a truly like amazing experience of like, man, this is, look how cool things can be. Look how cool art or movies can be. Like, this is what it's all about. And yeah, like you said, him being able to communicate that through just like how he's setting up the movie and framing it and his visual style, it's a very cool thing to do.
No, I couldn't agree more. What did you think? I mentioned earlier that Howard Shore came in and did this score for this. And obviously, after he had done Lord of the Rings, he was a hot commodity.
Yeah.
And so what did you think about the way in which the music works to bring this movie to life?
It's a beautiful score. It's really good. I don't have very many interesting things to say about it because I do think it's awesome. Obviously, Howard Shore, like you said, Lord of the Rings is genuinely like one of the best scores ever. And it elevates the movie. Every track feels perfect for where its placement is in the movie. And that's what you want from a good score, to elevate the movie and to like bring it home, right? It feels like a final touch of in post-production to add it in, to give the movie this final feel. And I think it perfectly does that.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're absolutely right. I think it creates a sense of whimsy and wonder and joy that you need, again, for everything to work correctly to bring the vision to life on screen. And that's exactly what I think the score does. And you know, it works well inside the film and outside the film. Yeah. But the beauty is that it perfectly complements what Scorsese's vision is for bringing this book to life on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I think it does a great job. So
it's awesome.
Well, one of the most interesting things about this, Rye, is that it seems as though your rating might change from where it previously was. So yeah. I'm really interested to see, you know, where you're going to land with your ratings for Hugo.
Yeah, as I was watching, you know, I went into it with, like I said, probably a 3.5 star was my thought. Like, until you said this, like, let's watch this, I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to watch this movie again, which would have been a shame because big jump. I'm putting it at like a 5-star. I put a heart on Letterboxd, add it to the, you know, favorites of all time list. That's like 130 something movies on Letterboxd. Like, I truly love this. This was everything I wanted. I think this is up there with Scorsese's best besides like Silence for me. And he's made fantastic movies. Like, this is like, I want to turn it on right now. I want to go rewatch it, like turn it on with my wife and just watch again. Cause it's so full of hope and like it's true. It's good. It's beautiful. And I love it. So, I'm landing at a 5, jumped up, you know, at least a star and a half, maybe 2 stars. So where are you landing with it?
This is so interesting because I think when I looked at Letterboxd and it went back to you log it again, I think it was at a 4. Mm-hmm. And I think right now I'm going to be at a 4.5.
Yeah.
And this is one of those movies where I think if I watch it again, there's a possibility that it could go up to a 5. And part of that has to do with the ways in which, you know, even as an adult, everything worked to bring its message to the forefront in a way that really did get me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think just being a person in life who had struggled trying to find their place, you know, mm-hmm. and find what they were good at and all of that, this movie just really, you know, it hit different this time.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. And so, and that's what I love about movies, you know, is the way in which, and stories in general, right? You know, you can read a book or watch a film as a younger person, and then you come back to it as an older person and something else just completely new kind of slaps you in the face.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. Mm-hmm. So, I highly recommend if somebody hasn't seen this, go find it, watch it. It's
watch
wonderful.
It with your kids.
Yes, absolutely.
And talk about it with your kids.
Do so, yes. So, Rye, if people wanted to catch up with you and see what else you've got going on or talk to you more about film, mm-hmm. where would they find you?
two places on Instagram at Rye Talks About, posts about movies, rankings, reviews, different things. And then I write all my Letterboxd reviews over on that platform. It's 182nd, O-N-D, 82nd.
And you can find me all over social media under the name MattRushing02. So from X Twitter to Letterboxd, anywhere that I am on social media, that's my name. Of course, you could find me here on the network outside the 602 Club with lots of great Star Trek talk with Chris Jones, as well as being over on the Nerd Party Network with two shows. One's Owl Post, talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, and Aggressive Negotiations as John Mills and I talk Star Wars each and every week. But as always, thank you so much for joining us.
Y'all come back now, you hear? ¶¶